Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's a blessing once again to be in the house of the Lord. There's no other place I would rather be. And there was a time I would not have said that. But it's because of what the Lord has done in my life that I'm grateful to be in his house. Because there was a time when I would rather be out there than in here. But it shows what God can do. The power of God, brothers and sisters. I was a whirling of the whirlings. And yet God was able to transform me. And he's not done with me yet. We're studying, Would You Be Ready? Part 3. It's a series that I've been working on. And the last time I was with you, who did we talk about? Who said that? Who said that? Thank you, sister. One student in the whole church. We spoke of Job. And we talked about one of the attributes that Job possessed. And who can remember what that was? Praise the Lord. Patience. Now, we talked about, turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 14. Are we there? In Ezekiel chapter 14, the Bible reads, verse 14, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, said the Lord God. Verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, said the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by what? Now, when heaven mentions something twice in the same chapter or in the same book, what is heaven putting us on? It's putting us on notice that we should do what? Pay attention. Now, there was a very, very popular commercial back in the 70s, mid-70s, early 80s. And it was by a financial firm. And the name of the financial firm was E.F. Hutton. How many of you remember E.F. Hutton? E.F. Hutton had a famous saying. Now, the commercial goes something like this. There will be two individuals in a park, in a restaurant, or wherever they may be. And one lady would say, my financial firm is such and such. She said, who is your financial firm? My financial firm is E.F. Hutton. And everybody would pause. They would freeze and listen. And the saying was, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Brothers and sisters, today, God is speaking. and he wants your divine attention. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you are greater than any man that walked upon this earth, for you created man. And we're asking this morning, Father, that as we open your word, for the brief moments that we have, speak to our hearts in a special way. May we see the significance of these individuals that we have been studying. And Lord, may we apply these things to our lives, Lord, that we may be ready for the crisis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when we look at Noah, Daniel, and Job, couldn't we safely say that these men would be able to make it through the crisis? Can we safely say that? We studied about Job and the patience that Job had. Today, we're going to look at as it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, we are told in Genesis chapter 6 that it was evil, what? Continually. Now, I want to open up by reading the first quotation here on your handout. Does everyone have a handout? If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. And number one in your handout, listen to what it says here. It says, "Now while our great high priest is making the atonement for us, we should seek to become perfect in who? Not even by a thought could our Savior be brought to yield to the power of who? Satan finds in human hearts some point where he can gain a foothold. Some sinful desire is cherished, by means of which his temptations assert their power. But Christ declared of himself, the prince of the world cometh and have what? Satan could find nothing in the Son of God that would enable him to gain the victory. He had kept his Father's commandment, and there was no sin in him that Satan could use to his advantage. This is the condition in which those must be found who shall stand in the time of trouble." Do you believe it? Is this the condition we need to be in, brothers and sisters? Is God giving us a probationary time that we may be able to develop that type of condition? Because the Bible tells us that we're going to have to be found without spot or wrinkle, brothers and sisters. And that means the defects where? In our characters. Now, in Matthew, turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Our scripture reading this morning, Matthew chapter 24, looking at verse 37. Matthew chapter 24. Looking at verse 37. The Bible reads, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man," what? The Bible is very clear, brothers and sisters, that the things that took place in Noah's day was a type of what's to come when Jesus comes, right? And so when we look at Noah's day, typically we look at what was taking place outside of Noah's family. Is that correct? But today, brothers and sisters, we want not just to look at what was taking place outside of Noah's family. We want to also take place. We also want to look at what was taking place inside of Noah's family. Because, first of all, we don't want to be accounted with the wicked. We want to be accounted with who? Noah and his family, because Noah and his family got where? In the ark. It was said in Sabbath school this morning that when you want to study a counterfeit bill, you don't study the counterfeit. You study what, Sister Randa? The original. You study the real thing. So we want to look at what constitutes righteousness, because the Bible tells us, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, listen to what the Bible tells us. Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It says, he moved with what? Fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Faith. Here, brothers and sisters, we see something here that it says Noah moved with fear. Now, it's interesting that the Bible tells us to compare scripture with scripture, right? When we looked at Job, it says that Job was one that feared God and escheweth what? Evil. So we see that Noah and Job had the same resume. They what? Feared God. And in each of their time, brothers and sisters, Noah was in a time of great wickedness, and he had to withstand a generation of people that were, what's the word? Evil. Committed evil continually. That's what the Bible says. And it also brings out that by the which he condemned the world. Now, in 2 Peter, turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter, just a few books over. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. We want to look at something here. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of what? Bringing in the flood upon the world of who? The ungodly. So what was the two principles that Noah did? It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, he did two things. What did he do? He prepared an ark and he preached the gospel. Now, my question to you, brothers and sisters, does God have a message in these last days to condemn the world? Where is it found? Revelation chapter 14, starting with what? Verse 6. And what does it say? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is what? And worship him that made what? Come on, Adventists. This is your message. And worship him that did what? Okay, turn to Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Because we don't seem to be all on one accord. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. The Bible says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having what? The everlasting gospel to do what? To what? To preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, what? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Do you see that the last message, the last warning message, actually this is the first angel's message, has the same characteristics that Job and Noah had. They all did what? Feared God. Do you fear God this morning? Do you reverend God this morning? When you come before God, brothers and sisters, we should come with reverence. There are certain things, brothers and sisters, we should not do in God's house. We should not be texting in God's house. We should not be looking at our cell phones in God's house. God should have our undivided attention. We would give more attention to a man than we will to God. You won't take a cell phone into the courthouse, would you? No, they won't even allow it. But we'll bring one in the presence of the King of Kings and the one that gives you breath every moment, and we'll casually come in God's house like he's our buddy. God's not our buddy. God is our creator. And this is why the Bible can say of Job, I'm sorry, of Noah. We'll get there. Brothers and sisters, the only way that the people of the world is going to see that the end is near is by the way we conduct ourselves. By the way we live our lives, brothers and sisters, our message can be preached. Because by the way Noah lived his life, the message was preached. The man preached and the man worked. This is what we have to do, brothers and sisters. And you know, it's interesting, I'm reminded of a story. It's found in the first chapter of the Great Controversy. And there was a man who preached prophecy. He prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's interesting, brothers and sisters, that this man had patience. This man was persecuted. And we're told that none of that bothered him. Look at number two on your handout. It says, for 7 years, a man continued to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, declaring the woes that were to come upon the city. By day and by night, he chanted the wild dirge, a voice from the east, a voice from the west, a voice from the four winds, a voice against Jerusalem and against the temple, a voice against the bridegrooms and the brides, a voice against the whole people. This strange being was imprisoned and scourged, but no complaint escaped his lips. To insults and abuse, he answered only, woe, woe to Jerusalem, woe, woe to the inhabitants thereof. This warning cry ceased not until he was slain in the siege he had foretold. That's interesting, brothers and sisters. Did this man know the Bible? Did this man know prophecy? Yet this man died in the very siege in which he prophesied. That scares me, brothers and sisters. That causes me, brothers and sisters, to do a self-examination. Because it was told that the last sentence, it says, not one Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. Not one Christian perished. But this man knew prophecy. This man knew the Bible. Yet he died in the very siege. That scares me, brothers and sisters. That tells me that we need to do some self-examination. That's why the Bible, that's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, to what? Examine yourselves. And even Paul had something to say about this, because in 1 Corinthians, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, looking at verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, looking at verse 2. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not what? Charity, I am what? Nothing. I am nothing. Brothers and sisters, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, there is something else that God brought out. What was the first thing that God showed Noah? And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. What was the first thing he showed him? It says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What is that, brothers and sisters? Prophecy. I'm going to have to put a gag order on you, brother. Prophecy. It's the first thing that God showed Noah. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Looking at verse 7. In Genesis chapter 6. Looking at verse 7, it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have what? Created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowls of the air. For it what? Repenteth me that I have did what? Brothers and sisters, can you believe that man got to a point to where he became so disobedient that God was sorry he made him? Can you believe that? But praise God, brothers and sisters. God had a man. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says what? But Noah found who? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why, Lord? Why is it that this one man found grace in your eyes? Look at the next verse. What does the Bible say in verse 9? These are what? The generations of Noah. Noah was a and what? Perfect in his generation. And Noah did what? And Noah walked with God. Do you see the similarities of Noah and Job? Do you see it, brothers and sisters? This is why I believe that God pointed out these three individuals. And we'll talk about the third one later. But this is why he talked about, he pointed out Job and Noah, because these individuals have the same resume. And brothers and sisters, it would behoove us to be a part of that resume if we are planning on making it through the crisis as it was in the days of Noah. Look at number three in your handout. And number three in your handout, it says, what constitute the difference between Enoch and Noah and those who were destroyed by the flood? Enoch and Noah were what? To the law of God. Do you see it? The others walked in the imagination of their own what? And corrupted their ways before the Lord, disregarding all his requirements. By their disobedience, they separated themselves from him and provoked him to destroy them. Enoch and Noah were found righteous when tested by the law of God. Had the Antediluvians kept the way of God, had they obeyed his commandments, they too would have been found righteous and would have received the Lord's what? Commendations. But the wise man tells us something, brothers and sisters, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6. Listen to what the wise man says. He says, "He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul. But he that despises the ways shall die." Did the Antediluvians do that? No, they did not. And then the wise man tells us, I heard it in Sabbath school this morning, in Proverbs 16, 25. "There is a way that seemeth what? Right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's only one way, brothers and sisters. There was only one way to get on that boat. And that was through that door on the side of the ark. And brothers and sisters, there is no three and four different ways to come to Christ. There's only one way. And who is that door? That's right, sister. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can enter in into the ark. Brothers and sisters, this is a time now that it's time for us to build the ark. An ark of safety that we must enter into, brothers and sisters. In 1 Peter chapter 3, turn with me there, please. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." Why is it, brothers and sisters, that only eight souls got on the boat? That boat, brothers and sisters, was big enough not just for the animals, but also for human beings. Who was God trying to save also? Human beings, wasn't he? Why isn't it that only eight souls got on the ark? Look at number four on your handout. It says, "Some were deeply convicted and would have heeded the words of warning, but there were so many to do what? And ridiculed that they partook of the same spirit, resisted the invitation of mercy, and were soon among the boldest and most what? Defiant scoffers. For none are so reckless and go to such lengths in sin as do those who once had light but have resisted the convicting spirit of God." Second Peter tells us, chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." The very thing that Noah met, it's the very things, brothers and sisters, we're going to meet. And the Bible tells us that scoffers, walking after their own lust. Now, do we see that today? Do we see scoffers walking after their own lust? We see it everywhere, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Now, let me ask you a question. Does this world seem like they're preparing for Jesus' second coming? They're living as though It's prolonged for a long time, but let me ask you this question. Is God giving the world warnings that his coming is near? It's no excuse, brothers and sisters, that we're not paying attention, because God is giving us every warning sign that his coming is near. The things that are happening today, brothers and sisters, are not normal. Brothers and sisters, people are not normal. The things that are taking place today, brothers and sisters, what we're seeing people are doing is not normal. That alone would let us know that Jesus' coming is near. It says here, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and of the earth standing out of the water and in the waters. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water did what? Perished. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 9, the Lord is what? Not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What should we be doing, brothers and sisters? We should be praying for these people, because such were some of us. And through his mercy, brothers and sisters, we are here today. So I don't look at them as saying those bad people and they're, you know, not paying attention. Because there was one time when I wasn't paying attention. But God got my attention, and God is going to get their attention, because he is not willing that any should perish. God does not want the wicked to perish. He didn't want them to perish in Noah's day, and he don't want them to perish when? In our day. Now, if our hearts are subdued and softened, would we have pity and love for those who are perishing right before our eyes? Well, let me say it another way. Should we have pity for those who are perishing right before our eyes? And not look as though these evil people, they see what's happening. How are they going to see it? Do they see it through you? The only Jesus some of these people are going to ever see is through you, through us, through me. That's the only Jesus they're going to see. This is why, brothers and sisters, we have to develop the character of Christ, and we don't have long. God is not going to wait forever. And we can see the times are coming, brothers and sisters. We can see the times are developing. We can see that Christ's coming is near. Look at number 5 on your handout. It says here, in consideration of the shortness of time, we as a people should watch and do what? And in no case allow ourselves to be diverted from the solemn work of preparation for the great event before us. Because the time is apparently extended, many have become what? And indifferent in regard to their words and actions. They do not realize their danger, and do not see and understand the mercy of our God in lengthening their probation. that they may have time to form, what's that word? For the future, immortal life. Every moment is of the highest value. Time is granted them not to be employed in studying their own ease and becoming dwellers on the earth, but to be used in the work of overcoming, what's that? Every defect in their own characters and in helping who? Did we just say that? It says, by example and personal effort, we see the beauty of holiness. God has a people upon the earth who in faith and holy hope are tracing down the road of fast fulfilling prophecy and are seeking to purify their souls by doing what? Obeying the truth, that they may not be found without the wedding garment when Christ shall appear. The signs foretold in prophecy are fast fulfilling around us. This should arouse every true follower of Christ to what? Zealous action. Listen to what it says about Noah. And brothers and sisters, this should be our lot. It said about Noah, number 6 in your handout. It says, while Noah was giving his warning message to the world, his works did what? Testified of his sincerity. It was thus that his faith was perfected and made evident. He gave the world an example of believing what? Just what God says. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. All that he possessed, he invested where? As he began to construct that immense boat on dry ground, multitudes came from every direction to see the strange sight and to hear the earnest, fervent words of a singular preacher. Every blow struck on the ark was a witness to the people. Brothers and sisters, it says he invested everything he owned in the ark. Did he lose anything, brothers and sisters? When that storm came, brothers and sisters, Noah was floating on his possessions. He was safe. Are we putting our possessions in the ark today, brothers and sisters? Because the things we're hoarding is going to burn up. We may as well use it to God's glory while we can, brothers and sisters. Because we have another ark to build. And eventually the time came, brothers and sisters. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. Eventually the time came. The time came, and the time is coming. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse 1. It says here, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from all the face of the earth. Verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord, what? Commanded him. Verse 16. And they that went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord did what? Shut him in. Probation is closing, brothers and sisters. Time is running out. And the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, it says, come, my people, enter thou into the chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 and 21. In closing, brothers and sisters, turn with me to Hebrews. This is our closing text. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. The book of Hebrews chapter 7. God is not going to wait forever, brothers and sisters. One day the door of the ark is going to close. And are we going to be safely tucked in? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, wherefore, he is able also to do what? Save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he what? Ever liveth to make what? What is God doing for us right now? He's interceding in the heavenly sanctuary right now on our behalf, brothers and sisters. What are we holding on to that we will not give to him? What sins, what darling sins that we are holding on to that we will not give to him? Brothers and sisters, God is calling. God is saying, come to me, my child. Come to me while there's still time. Come to me while you still have safety. Come to me while I'm still interceding in your behalf. The time is coming where we're going to be fixed in our condition. Question, what condition do you want to be in? Do you want to be like Job? Do you want to be like Noah? The Bible tells us in Revelation that he that is just, let him be just still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Do you want to be counted among the righteous, brothers and sisters? Let us pray. Father in heaven, the subject matter, would you be ready? Lord, we're not there yet, but we're striving to get there. We thank you for your great mercy that you continue to shower upon us. But Lord, you're not going to wait forever. Please, Lord, when we leave this place throughout these Sabbath hours, let us examine ourselves. Let us ask God, Lord, what is keeping me back? What is holding me back from becoming more like you? We saw your servant Noah, and the Bible says, and he walked with God. We saw your servant Noah, and it says that he feared God. Lord, let the fear of God be upon us, that we would not dishonor you, that we would not disrespect you, not just in this building, but even in our homes, in our lives. Please, dear God, please. Time is running out, Lord, and we're not ready. But Lord, in Hebrews 7:25, it says you're doing everything to the uttermost to save us. And Lord, you saw our hands. We want to be saved. We want to be accounted among the righteous. Do whatever you have to do, Father, to save us. And Lord, we thank you for your grace, kindness, and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sobering time. But we have a shelter. Yes, sir. In that time of storm,